thought that was going to be chocolate. That's definitely not chocolate.
No, it's not, no.
They're healthy, organic biscuits.
They're strange kind of biscuits.
I think we should be
tasty,
but it's not chocolate. What we might do is just keep them anyway. We should tap them.
So, how is everybody?
Well, thank you.
Good? Yeah?
Has
enjoying
wife?
The nice weather?
Has a wife?
My wife is good.
That's good.
She's home alone tonight.
Unborn child?
Yeah.
Has an unborn child?
Active.
Yeah.
Moving around and showing up on the scans. Seems to do this a lot.
Do what?
But yeah, it's going well. We had our 20-week scan last week, so she's sort of halfway, and the scans showed up really positive. So they take all the measurements, as you know, take all the measurements of the brain, and it's amazing what they can do.
Mm.
I just can't believe it, you know, that these ultrasounds and these 3D imagery, you actually see what it looks like.
Yeah.
So Magda's sister, she is having a baby any day now. And they had their 3D imagery, and you could actually see exactly what the baby looked like.
Oh, wow.
Like, where's the surprise in that? Hey, Simone, how are you?
Hello.
Welcome.
Hey, Simone.
Where's the surprise in that? I'm thinking, you know, like, as soon as it comes out, you go, oh, there it is, yeah.
Oh,
exactly
yeah,
what we got.
Yeah,
we ordered.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's such an amazing experience. It really is.
Mm.
It's really starting to feel real. Like, she's showing. You know. It's good. It's good.
You're not at all excited,
Mel,
are you?
I saw Mel had hers as well, yeah.
Mel had hers, yeah. Just under 5 kilos.
Mm.
That's a big baby, isn't
big
it?
Big baby, yeah.
I know, tell me about it.
10 pounds 4, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small
so,
turkey.
But she definitely overcooked it. It was in there for about an extra 2 weeks than it should be.
Phoenix was too. He was 4.8 kilos.
Just baked.
And 2.5
baked it late. And came out ripe and...
Crazy.
You go. Walk straight into the first grade. Nah, so beautiful baby though. Beautiful baby. And
that was the cutest.
Yeah,
photo.
Oh my gosh.
Gorgeous photo.
Yeah. Good girl. So, yeah, it's good. Enjoying the nice weather?
Yeah? That's alright. It's
great.
It's great. Nice.
Changes the dynamic, that's for sure. Everybody watch the grand final?
Yes.
No.
No?
Yes. We're at a wedding.
We're at a wedding.
Where they had the flat screen TV set up for the grand final.
All right.
Mm. Yeah, was that planned that they were going to get married? Did they know it was on the same day? Or was it unfortunate?
I don't think so, but they must have been aware of what might happen because they had the TV set up. They said they didn't want everyone calling back to their cars all the time.
Yeah.
Well, at least they looked after their guests.
Oh, did they? The wedding went for 2 days.
Oh, 2 days? It was a Polish wedding.
No, it was just a farm wedding. They asked us back the next morning for brunch. They said, well, probably more from the lunch. And we were still there at dinner.
Yeah.
Waiting for the lambs on the spit that they just threw on while we were there. And...
Yeah, nice.
Mm. Yeah, incredible.
That's good. That's good.
And then our daughter got bitten on the face by a dog. And we've been
oh, goodness.
She's had plastic surgery.
At the wedding?
Yeah. Oh. The day after.
She had plastic surgery this week.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
Bad?
Yes, her mouth.
Oh, her mouth. Like,
her mouth.
Oh, my
yep.
God.
Mm.
Oh, goodness.
It's like a squid.
How old is she?
She's 6.
Oh, that's terrible.
She's going to be terrified of dogs now, isn't
no,
she?
No, she's
maybe
not.
Good.
We
maybe
took her back.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, it was interesting because the cow hospital is staffed by some very well-meaning old ladies and a first aid kit. And so one of them rang the Cleve Hospital and I spoke to the doctor and he said, if you think she needs stitches, don't bring it here. I'm like, well, thank you, that's what I want to know. So he'd been drinking all day this wedding.
He's
turned to drinking all day. And I had to take a very dark road into Wyala in the middle of the night where they said, don't hit the kangaroos. And I thought,
oh, yeah.
Crap. So even though he was drunk, I said, you have to come.
Yeah.
So everyone's in the car. So we drove over there, and without word of a lie, this hospital, the nurses didn't wash it out, nothing. They just glued her lips together, like not the top and bottom, but the wounds, and gave us a script for some antibiotics, which you're not going to feel on a public holiday.
Mm.
So I said to John, I'm pretty sure that needs plastics. And when we got home the next day, she hadn't eaten or drunk anything. She
couldn't.
Within 2 hours of arriving at Flinders Medical Centre, she was in surgery. Brilliant job. Just amazing. Incredible.
So you can't tell?
You can tell because... Her lips, she looks like she's had collagen infections.
Oh, yeah.
These huge lips.
Yeah.
There might be the tiniest scar. They said if there's a scar, we'll revise it later on. But
yeah.
she's amazing. And she said to John yesterday, well, I missed out on McDonald's on the way home because I couldn't eat, so it's not in today. And John went, yes, it is.
You can have as many as you like.
So, yeah, I just can't sing the praises of that place enough. Like, they often have ramping and many horrid stories come out of public hospitals, but their paediatric service is world-class.
Yeah. I reckon it's great.
So what, you sort of show up and they just put you straight in, do they?
Well, I said to them, I'm a nurse, but if you think I'm overreacting, just send us home. If you think a lips are good, then it's fine, but here's what hasn't happened. No antibiotics, no washout. I think the glue needs to come out and be stitched. And they're like, that's what needs to happen. Plastic surgeon was down probably in an hour and a half because he was already in theatre with somebody. He came straight out and said, yeah, we're going to do this next. Yeah. And that was that. She was back out by 10 o'clock. She was.
They normally give you a shot too, don't they, for interactions with the dog?
These really, really high-strength antibiotics, so she's having diarrhoea all the time now from that. But they did the whole lot in theatre, so she didn't know about any of it. So, but yeah, just incredible. So, yeah, we've plastic surgery this week on our kid. How's that?
I love the way you just bring that up as if it's something everybody has done.
Yes, you had what? Our kid, she threw us a tea party yesterday and gave us rules. Like,
she's great.
Kids are amazing.
Oh, she's great.
At least she's in good spirits.
I know.
Yeah.
It shows her strength of character.
Yes.
But actually, we're ties in well tonight with what we're going to talk about tonight.
Oh,
that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Anybody else got any crazy wild stories like that they want to share?
Only that I'm really proud of my son because he's in South Africa at the moment having a whale of a time.
Wow.
Spoke to him earlier on. He's doing the advanced hike up Table Mountain, across Table Mountain and down Table Mountain with his principal.
Incredible. And any other students from the school?
There's another student from Westminster, but there's probably about 120 students from around the world. So he's staying at the moment with someone from Canada. He was staying with someone from Armenia. He's made some friends in all over the world, so he's got contacts with loads of people, so he's having a ball.
We won't watch, I always say that.
I hope so.
So yes. Alrighty, let's get stuck into the night. Bit of housekeeping. You all should have seen an email that went out just regarding the Platinum Namaste. Did you see that come out?
Yes.
That's just around the Bali retreat that Dipna's organised, 10th of December. Through to the 13th of December. So on the Sunday night, which is the 10th, there'll be a bit of a cocktail party. It's all about, you know, coming and dressing up as your five-year-old self, as you guys know. Really fun and enjoyable night. It's all about being in character. There's a lot of great stories from previous Platinums where guys have come along and, you know, 5 years on, they've turned into that sort of thing. The second day, which will be the 11th, is there'll be a conference around that, so Dipna will put together a lot of great content, and it'll all be more around the experiential journey and talking about leadership and how you can sort of go up that next level, I guess, in your own lives. There'll be a gala dinner as well on the 13th of December, which is the Wednesday night, on the fourth day. So that's always a lot of fun too, and she puts on a good show at the gala dinner.
So that's the last night, is it? Or the night before?
The last night, yeah. So then everybody comes home on that day, or you can tack on a few extra days if you want and bring along the kids and do all of that. It is on a great little stretch in Nusa Dua. Has anyone been to Nusa Dua before in Bali?
No.
Nusa Dua is pretty cool. It's like just along the ocean there, and there's about five or six different resorts that are all along the same stretch. So you've got the Sofitel, Novotel, there's Club Med as well, which is great for the kids because they've got activities all day, throughout the day. So it's a good little stretch there. But there's not much happening. You're right out of town. You're not in the hustle and bustle of Bali.
Good.
We will need you to RSVP by the 10th of November if you are thinking about coming along for that. And just a note there to check your passport too, that you've got to have 6 months minimum left on your expiry of your passport. So I know mine's up in September next year, yeah. So I've got to update that one. The Platinum Graduate Offer, which I went through last month, so that includes the Namaste Bali. So Dipna's organised a part payment plan option through Knowledge Source. So it's a $12.50 by 12 monthly payments, or you can pay for it in full by $12,995. And then there's always the partner option there as well. I Love Real Estate Super Conference. Haven't seen many entries go up yet. around that.
Six, I think, when I last.
A lot of great stories. Make sure that you get your story up. Video, post, writing, however it is that you want to do it. But get it up there. Share it along with the community. It's always very inspiring. So that closes on the 20th of October too, to get your story out there. And make sure you're jumping on there and voting for the ones that you like too, because that's also a big part of it.
Do you know what the prizes are?
Yes.
What's the inside?
The main prize is a trip to Paris. So if that's not worth putting your story up, I don't know what is.
Paris was on my vision board.
Well, there you go. That's a sign.
That's a sign.
That was your 5 minutes.
Mind you, so was the Maldives. I didn't get that one.
Well, sometimes you don't know how long it's going to take
exactly.
for it to come.
And I did put 2018, not 2007.
Oh, there you go. December National PA Conference, 2nd to the 3rd in December in Sydney. So make sure you book into that one as well. And then we've got some Ultimate Boot Camps that are also coming up this month. So big 3 months ahead with events and things going on, which is great. Fast Profits and Extreme Income will be held up on the Gold Coast from the 2nd to the 5th of November. And look, that's going to be a good one. That's only happened once this year. So normally that used to happen every biannually. But now it's only once per year, so it'd be a good one to get along to if you haven't been to that one yet and you're a Quantum member. A bit of housekeeping as well around the changes on Wisdom. Is everybody up to sort of speed with this?
Yeah.
Yep, cool. That's just a bit of an organisational chart as to how it all kind of fits into the I Love Real Estate community. You've got Clint, Tony and Andrew Cubank that are part of heading up Wisdom. And then obviously you've got all your strategists beneath them in Wisdom Loan section. With the accounts, you've got Jade and Carmel. Carmel based over in Perth and looks after you guys. And then you've also got the advisory network that are based up in Newcastle too. So for anything, you know, superannuation related, life insurance, all that sort of stuff, TPD, you can get in contact with advisory. All good? Any questions on that? Cool. So, who agrees with this statement?
Yes.
Pretty accurate.
Nothing.
Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it. Absolutely. I've got a couple of questions to ask you. What makes someone a good athlete, do you think? If we think about Usain Bolt, think about some of the guys that play on the weekend, you know, they're great athletes. They're conditioned, they're fit, they're playing in the Premiership, they've gone the whole year. You know, in some cases, you know, they've only had a few losses. Some teams go through undefeated. I mean, what is it that makes someone a good athlete, do you think?
Self-belief.
What about this team? Athlete. Self-belief.
Commitment.
Drive.
Following through.
Yep, showing up and following through. What else?
Discipline.
That's the word I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Imagination.
Natural ability, so talent. There's an element of talent, isn't there? I mean, I probably couldn't become the fastest runner in the world.
No.
Once upon a time, I might have. I got the record at my school when I, in under 13s, but that was when I was the same height as everyone else. So there is an element of talent, isn't there?
Mm.
What about you know, a good leader? What makes a good leader? Who do you think of when you hear the term good leader?
Richard Branson.
Yep.
Winston Churchill,
yep. Absolutely.
Donald Trump.
Some may argue with that. 50-50, right? 50% like him, 50% don't. Who else? Who are your mentors? Who are your role models? You haven't?
Tony Robbins.
Your parents? Tony Robbins? Yeah. And what makes a good leader, do you think?
Probably a lot of those things.
A lot of those things?
Inspiration?
Yeah.
Inspiring. Someone who can inspire you?
Yeah, inspiring.
Yep. Communication.
So, good communicator. Inspires others.
Good motivator.
Motivator.
Ethics.
Ethical. So, you know, has integrity.
I think a good narrator, they can paint a picture that you can tell a story.
Like storyteller?
Yeah.
Storyteller, yeah. Yeah, some pretty good principles, values that make a good leader. What about a good parent? What do you think makes a good parent?
Alcohol.
Alcohol. Someone who's half cut all the time?
Alcohol.
That's why I saw a few of those out on the street before. I don't know how well that'd be parenting.
I think parenting makes you an alcoholic.
I'm not going to write that down.
Again, probably some of those other things, but compassion and consideration.
Yeah. Compassion, yeah. I like that. You've got to be compassionate to raise or nurture something, don't you? You've got to be patient. Did you say patient?
Yes. Probably, but I fail at that one.
I'm sure there's one word for this, but you've got to give yourself a break. As in,
accepting.
Slack.
Accepting? No,
acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Relaxed.
Relaxed. So, sort of go with the flow type attitude?
Yeah.
I think, are you talking about like to be able to emotionally manage that kind of thing? When you say relaxed, to be able to manage your emotions so you're not screaming at them, but you can talk to them as different.
To not
so, like, rationalise almost? Is that rational?
Emotional intelligence.
Emotional intelligence, wow.
It's not sweating the small stuff.
Emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Do you think you have to be hard but fair? Or assertive, maybe?
Assertive, clear and assertive.
Assertive?
Lead by example.
So be, be an example.
I think the assertiveness bit is if you say you're going to do something, you have to do it.
Mm.
So don't promise something you can't give them because they'll expect it.
So, like honesty and integrity.
Yeah.
Be present.
Ooh, like that. Present.
Mm.
Nothing worse with a parent that's just not there.
Mm.
You know, they're on autopilot. They're not connecting with you.
Well, they're physically
they're
not
at work
there
all the time.
Yep.
They're not actually physically around.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What makes a good real estate investor or developer?
Good listen. No, so I'm thinking of real estate agent. Investor. Again, structure, discipline.
Time management.
Knowledge.
So, investor.
Self-belief. Yeah, again, some of those other ones that we had before.
It's the same as an athlete.
Commitment. Drive.
Structure.
Commitment.
Discipline.
Knowledge.
Knowledge, yeah.
Drive.
Yeah.
Knowledge.
Perseverance.
Why do you say perseverance?
You get knocked down, you get back up again.
Well, because it's not necessarily a quick thing.
Mm.
Like even my unit that I did, you know, there's lots of units you look at before, and you have to keep going. And if you stop, you miss out on the deals. You've just got to keep with your strategies. You've got to keep persisting.
Yep.
Because you can easily give up and then you miss everything.
Yep. I agree with that.
Networking,
yeah.
Relationships, yeah.
Relationships.
Networking.
Your communication.
No. Relationships. Communication. Right. All great answers.
I should probably know the answer to this, but who's Harry Triggerboff?
Yeah. Harry Triggerboff. It should be Harry
Triggerboff.
He owns Meriton Apartments, largest real estate developer in Australia.
Right.
He's a billionaire. Some like him, some dislike him. There's a lot of rumours that he doesn't pay a lot of subcontractors and the builders and what. Harry Triggerboff.
Trigger point.
But arguably, he's done some amazing developments, and he's created some really great buildings, and obviously helped a lot of people get into the property market at various times. Their own products.
I'm a bit disgusted we didn't come up with a single female leader.
That's very true.
That's a good point.
Yes, who wrote this?
Somebody said.
No, we didn't either. Yeah.
Someone said
it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, good old Maggie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's around 27% of the world's top 100 companies, 27% are women CEOs.
Mm.
And that is a growing number
at
a radical rate. And what they're now starting to find is that women are much better in those management roles in a lot of cases. They offer different things, right? They bring different things to the table, but what they're seeing is that women are really coming in hard and strong in those big executive roles and creating some amazing results.
Mm-hmm.
People like Oprah Winfrey, I mean, she's a no-brainer as a world leader, world-class act.
Mm.
I love the way that Oprah has gone about, you know, creating herself, and that she's never been the one to sort of stand in the limelight and, you know, bang her drum, beat her own drum. She's always been about putting other people in the limelight and shining the spotlight on them to sort of say, hey, look at what this person's doing. And, you know, she found such an incredible niche at the time when she first started out as a news reporter, and she got fired as a news reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the producers of the same, it was CBS, I think it was, approached her and said, look, we'd like to get you on a daytime television show. And at the time, daytime television was much lower graded than being a news reporter or a news journalist. And she said, yep. And she knew from day one, as soon as she sat down in that seat, that that was what her purpose was. And she resonated with the fact that people in the audience wanted to hear stories and wanted to be inspired by what people were out there doing. And she just connected the two. And she became the conduit.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's got her own, you know, television studio and all this. And she's one of the richest ladies in the world, but she didn't do it by self-promotion. She did it by promoting others. And I always find that's a really interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, all sort of great answers, and there's probably a lot of overlap there too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in terms of what makes a good leader and an athlete and a parent and that kind of thing. Why do you think that some people accomplish their goals while others fail?
People who achieve their goals, I don't know what the percentages, but they write them down.
They write them down?
Yeah.
So they declare them and they commit to them. They might share them with others, and, you know, we've all seen the power of that.
Even the people that have goals probably fail at some point, but they still keep going.
Yeah, so what is it that has them keep going?
Drive, persistence, commitment.
Drive, persistence.
If you know that that's what you want, and you don't give up, you keep going.
And believe that you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some people give up on their goals a lot sooner than what the next person might have.
Yeah.
Winston Churchill said, when you go through hell, just keep going.
Yeah, just keep riding through.
Yeah.
That's a good...
So you don't want to stop.
They make them SMART, that acronym SMART. There's
specific,
measurable,
and
attainable,
relevant, timely.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Winston Churchill also gave a half-an-hour speech to a college... And the speech was, word for word, never, ever, ever give up.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever give up. And that's what he said for 30 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yep.
He wanted to give up on
the end of that. Yeah, that's right.
What's that saying?
I said he wanted to give up on the end of that.
Yeah. If you hadn't already left.
It's about having the vision that strives you through those harder times.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you're always going to get them. You know, you read a book of anybody who's created any wealth, serious wealth, and they've always had their obstacles.
Yep.
And how they handle those obstacles makes them a better person.
Yeah. Yeah. I read a really interesting book a couple of years ago called The Obstacle is the Way. And it was all about how you find the obstacle and you actually go for that obstacle rather than try and go around it.
Oh.
And it was written by a guy called Ryan Holiday. And really interesting book. Like, it just challenges your perception and your thinking around, well, hang on a minute, you know, I'm in this situation, it's tough,
you know, like I'm trying to get finance for this development, or I'm trying to do this over here, or I can't find my next deal. And it's about embracing the obstacle that it is and actually just pushing straight through the centre of it. And, you know, the benefit that that creates on the other side is that you've now grown substantially, and that no longer is really an obstacle. You've kind of pushed through that. So then it's about looking at, well, what's the next one? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Usually we answer these questions by talking about the talent of top performers, you know. What makes a great athlete? Wow, you know, he's skilled, he's got talent, he's tall. Or she's tall. Or she's, you know, she's got great hand-eye coordination. You know, there's all these reasons that people are so quick to assume as to why that person is at the top performing level of what they do. But, you know, what we need to look at is, well, is there more to the story than that? And I think we've established that just by going through and writing down some of what these things are. You know, but when we look at what the pinnacle of that is, you know, what is it that, you know, has someone go to that top performance level? It can't just be about talent. When you start looking into it, your talent and your intelligence don't play nearly as big of a role as you might think. And the research studies that have been found say that intelligence and talent only accounts for 30% of your achievement, and that's at the extreme upper end. So the question...
There's hope yet for me.
Hey?
There's hope yet for me.
Absolutely. The question is, well, if that's true, if you haven't got talent in that field, are you at an advantage if you've got something else? If you've got drive and you've got purpose and you've got vision, do you have to be the best of the best?
You don't.
But if you've got a 70% opportunity to achieve something and be the best at it, not even taking into account that you may have that intelligence or that talent, you're already at an advantage than someone who's just got the talent but doesn't really have much else to rely on, or no ambition. So what makes a bigger impact than talent or intelligence, do you think?
Desire,
self-belief,
a burning
desire, yep.
Thinking grow rich.
Yep. I agree with all those things, absolutely. And it depends on what context you're really looking at, you know. What we're going to talk about tonight is having mental toughness, having the ability to withstand pressure and to have stamina and endurance and perseverance, and like Jan was talking about before. You know, these things are really important. Perseverance, the ability to have that, you know, push through mentality and not give up. Just like Winston Churchill said. Each year, approximately 1,300 cadets join the entering class at the United States Military Academy at West Point. During their first summer on campus, cadets are required to complete a series of brutal tests. Angela Duckworth, a researcher at the University of Pennsylvania, conducted a study tracking the cadets. In the Duckworth study, she tracked 2,441 cadets across two intakes. She recorded their high school rank, SAT scores, leadership potential score, which is reflected in participation in extracurricular activities, physical aptitude exams, and the grit scale, which measures perseverance and passion for long-term goals. Here's what she found. It wasn't strength or smarts or leadership potential that accurately predicted whether or not a cadet would finish the Beast Barracks. Instead, it was the grit, mental toughness, the perseverance and passion to achieve long-term goals that made the biggest amount of difference. In fact, cadets who were one standard deviation higher on the grit scale were 60% more likely to finish Beast Barracks than their peers. 60%.
That's a lot.
That's a huge number. It was mental toughness that predicted whether or not a cadet would be successful, not their talent, intelligence, or genetics. Can anyone think of a time where you've been pretty much on similar paths to somebody else, and one person or the other has, you know, given up earlier or hasn't gone through and persevered with the outcome? No?
Yeah, but it was on in a physical activity, a long distance walk.
Yep.
And probably not very long distance in some people's scale, but a 15-mile mountain hike.
Yep.
And you could all be the same physical fitness, but if your brain isn't in it on that day, forget it, you won't get very far.
Yep.
That's happened to me a few times doing the same walk. Sometimes no problem, other times terrible.
Yep. Yeah, I remember it from, you know, back in the days when we were doing footy training, you'd be doing pre-season camps, and, you know, you'd have someone who's virtually the same fitness, same everything as you, done exactly the same amount of training sessions leading up to this camp. Yet, you know, there's people that drop off a lot earlier than others. There's other people that are able to, you know, persevere. Then they go even that extra mile, and then they're helping the other people. And you go, what is it about, you know, that person that's different from that person? It's just their ability to withstand that mental toughness, you know, the wall coming up where it's, you know, it's saying you can't go any further. If anyone's done a marathon before, you'll know that there's that wall that they talk about, which comes up around the 32, 33 kilometre mark, where you feel like your body just cannot go any further. But it's that mental toughness that gets you across the line, that gets you to get to the 42 kilometres. And that's what a lot of marathon runners are addicted to, is that challenge of, am I able to persevere through and break through that wall to finish this marathon? Really interesting.
I think that's where it's the passion and the purpose, the passion and the perseverance that go together. Because I'm pretty persistent, but if it's not something I'm passionate about, if I was doing a marathon and I hit the wall at 32,
I'd give up.
Yeah. Whatever, I don't care. But if there's something that you're really passionate about and you've got that drive to get there, then you'll keep going if you've got that perseverance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You've got to kind of love it in a way, don't you?
Because
if you don't love it, it's That's just hard work.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just hard work.
Yeah.
When comparing two people who are the same age but have different levels of education, grit more accurately predicts which one will do better in life and accomplish more. Talent is overrated. Another good book. Another good book. I skipped a few slides here.
Yep.
The definition of mental toughness, if you actually have a look at it in Wikipedia, is a measure of an individual resilience and confidence that may predict success in sport, education, and the workplace. Mental toughness is frequently used colloquially to refer to any set of positive attributes that helps a person to cope with difficult situations. You know, it's kind of like when we know we need to get through the other side, we'll just find any other way to do it. You know, it's like when we lose somebody we love, or, you know, when somebody gets sick, it's like you just find a way to deal with it and you just get through it. You know, we're human beings, we're built to survive. But when it comes down to chasing our goals, we've got to be able to pull on different stuff to make sure that we can inspire ourselves to go and get it. Mental toughness is built through small wins, you know, having that ongoing satisfaction and reward that, you know, you are getting somewhere, progress is being made. It's the individual choices that we make on a daily basis that build our mental toughness muscle. And there will be always extreme moments that require incredible bouts of courage, resilience, and grit. But for 95% of the circumstances in life, toughness simply comes down to being more consistent than most people. I'm sure we all know the guy Elon Musk by now, right?
Yeah.
You know,
amazing.
Big entrepreneur, lives over in Los Angeles, got an incredible story. You know, comes out of college, pretty smart sort of guy. He's got an engineering degree. Forms a bit of a band with a couple of his mates, and they say, right, let's go out there and create, you know, some software, because they're right in the beginning wave of the whole dot-com boom, effectively. So they go out there and they create a piece of software that is pretty similar to, you know, sort of Google Maps. And a couple of years later, they sell it for they sold it for $100 million. And he banks $22 million, right? Pretty good for a young guy. Driving around in a McLaren, you know, from the outset, you'd be looking at this going, wow, this guy's just hit, you know, the lottery kind of thing. But you haven't seen the work that's gone into it. So from there, they then go, okay, what's our next project? So they go in and they create another company, and they want to take on the way that the big banks and the monetary policy works, and they think, well, how can we create this whole online banking system? And they go into a business, which is then later on known as PayPal, and he does that with another guy called Peter Thiel, who's now a big fund foundational investor over in startups. And, you know, they're in that business for quite a while, and then they go and sell that business to eBay for $1.5 billion. And at this stage, he's around about 30 years old. He banks $180 million. Yeah, life done, tick, right? You've got all the money in the world that you can need. What are you going to do now? And he goes on a bit of a soul-searching experience, you know, what am I all about? What's my life about? And discovers that he wants to have a real impact on the world. You know, he wants to make a big difference and leave his own mark on the world. So he starts to think about what's really important to him and, you know, where he wants to focus his energies on. And he looks to, you know, how he can create a more sustainable world, you know, and a sustainable life for us here. So he focuses his attention to solar, creating, you know, electric cars. And he also has this incredible thirst to create, you know, humanization on other planets. He thinks that we can become, you know, we can live in galaxies. So he wants to invest in space travel. 3 or 4 years down the track, you know, he's invested $10 million into Solar City, he invested $70 million into Tesla, and he invested $100 million into his company SpaceX. He's running them all at once. He's the CEO of all three of them. And these are big, big companies that aren't making any revenue at the time, right? They've just been funded by investors and by himself. He's got his own skin in the game. And he gets to a point about 3 or 4 years down the track where they've missed a couple of big tenders that they should have got for SpaceX. They haven't sold as many cars as what they thought they were going to, and they haven't been able to create their product to market in the time that they should have. And it's around the 22nd of December, and he hasn't got enough money in the bank to pay any of his wages, and he's got thousands of employees. And this guy spent pretty much the whole year working on getting these contracts in place. Now, could you imagine the amount of mental toughness that someone like him would need to be able to withstand to get through a period of time like that? Like, I mean, you're not just talking about your own life here. You're talking about thousands of other people's lives as they're leading into Christmas. And you don't know where the money's going to come from to pay them leading into the holiday period. So rather than sort of just crawling up in a ball, which he does. I mean, he's, you know, can't talk to anyone. He can't even show himself. He can't show his face. His family's looking at him. He's depressed. Right, he's in a black hole because he doesn't know how he's going to get out of it. And then at the 11th hour, on the 23rd of December, before they break, they get a call from NASA to say, look, we're going to award you with a $1.5 billion contract to start creating your rockets. So we've got space, basically logistics, where they go and deliver stuff out in space, but they've created a rocket that can now depart and then come and land, and it's all self-automated. There's no one necessary needed in the rocket ship. $1.5 billion contract there, and then he gets a call from one of his big investors, who was a foundational investor in Tesla, to say, we're going to give you an extra $350 million so you can put the cars into production and go to the next stage. And manages to get through that whole holiday period with the money coming in at the last minute.
That's some pretty big manifesting.
That is.
Yeah. You look at the guy today, you know, SpaceX is worth a couple of billion dollars. Tesla's well and truly up there. They had last year, they went to market with a pre-order. They ended up selling about 500,000 cars in the space of, I think it was 24 hours on pre-order for the Model X. Mm-hmm. And it's quickly becoming one of the most successful car companies in the world. Now, NASA the space industry hasn't had any innovation in it whatsoever for the last 50 odd years. No one would touch it. But he discovered that, hang on a minute, why aren't people manufacturing better rocket ships? And it's just that no one was doing it. So he's got this huge purpose and this huge drive to leave his mark on humanity. And when he's asked, you know, what's the big purpose? And he says it's turning humans into space colonizers is his stated life's purpose. I would like to die thinking that humanity has a bright future. If we can solve sustainable energy and be well on our way to becoming multi-planetary species with a self-sustaining civilization on another planet to cope with a worst-case scenario happening and extinguishing human consciousness, then I think that would be good. I think there's a lot to learn from someone like him when you look at what pressure he's going to be able to withstand in order to deliver something that the world hasn't yet seen.
Big dream.
Yeah.
Most of the really successful people have big dreams. Have big dreams. Just dream and dream. And Walt Disney had a whole dream.
Walt Disney's a great story.
You'll never be nothing. You keep drawing mouses on the table, you'll be nothing. I always tell people one thing, dream. Mm-hmm. And don't stop dreaming. Mm-hmm. Dream. Just dream.
Yep.
That's the secret, I believe, to success. Never stop dreaming.
Well, I mean, a dream is something that yet doesn't exist, right? And if you're going to make your dream a reality, you've got to bring it into existence. So it's going to take a bit for that to happen, isn't it?
Everything came from a thought, and a thought is a dream.
Yep. Dimnit has recorded a bit of a video for us. She's over in New Mexico at the moment. She's doing a week-long course with a couple of her mentors that she's been following for a while. And I spoke to her the other day. She's having a fantastic time and she's learning a lot, which I know she's going to bring back and have a lot to impart on us as well, which is really exciting. But she did just want to record a video for this particular session for you guys to watch. So I'll just play that and hopefully you can hear this.
Hey guys. Thought I'd touch base with you guys this month and do a little video myself rather than pop one in for you. Now obviously the topic this month is mental toughness. And I thought I'd share a couple of stories of my life because it seems to be very much on the topic. When I was in grade 10, now first of all, let me go back a little bit. I grew up in a virtual town and I hated the place. I really did. I hated the place. I hated where I lived. All I wanted to do was get out of there. And when I was in grade 10, I had this best friend, and her name's Michelle. And Michelle was really smart. And I just want to share with you how important it is to have goals and have dreams and to be determined. Because Michelle was smarter than me. I was pretty good, but she was smarter than me. But she had absolutely no ambition, none at all. All she wanted to do was finish school in grade 10, get a job for a while, get married, have kids. And there's nothing wrong with that, nothing at all. But for me, that wasn't going to be enough. I was desperately trying to get out of that place. And I had big dreams. I wanted to travel, I wanted to make something in my life, I wanted to live in a nice house, I wanted to see the world, I want to do all sorts of things. And, when you've got that burning drive, that burning desire to make something happen, I think it's only a matter of time before it comes into reality. And, you've got to remember back then, I'd never even been on an aeroplane. So I was jumping at any chance just to do anything, basically. And I put my mind to it. It's a lot of determination, a lot of consistency. I think I've achieved that. Now, when I look at my life and I look at Michelle's, we both achieved what we wanted. This one's not better than the other. It just is. Obviously, I don't want her life and she probably doesn't want mine. But I think it's important to recognise that, even for between Michelle and I, she was smarter than I was. But she had no desire. And I've seen this happen over and over again in work, in businesses that I've run, things like that, where someone who's got the determination and the desire to make something happen is prepared to put in and make it happen, you know what they do? And it gets recognised. You know, I've promoted people with far less time in the industry because they had that guts, they had that grit, they had that determination. And it reminds me actually of the story of a friend of mine who's a doctor. And when she was growing up, she didn't, they didn't think she was normal. And her brothers and sisters used to talk for her, and you know, she wouldn't talk, she wouldn't do anything, so they actually didn't think that, you know, that they were concerned for her future, put it that way. But her mother always said to her, "Camilla, you can do anything you want. You know, whatever you want to do, you can make it happen." And she, you know, she had to work hard to get through medical school. She got a pilot's license, even though she got violently ill every time she went up into the air. She'd be able to handle it up there and then come down and relieve herself. she wasn't a very good flyer. But she got a pilot's license because she had the guts to do it, you know, even being sick every time she went up into the air. She made up her mind she wanted a pilot's license, so she went and got it. And I think it's that kind of reality that you know you're going to do it. It's just a matter of, you know, putting it in place and making it happen. So guys, I hope you enjoy this month's topic. I think it's really super important. And I want you to really consider the things that you can do, the things that you'd like to change on a consistent basis to create that mental toughness, because your brain is just another muscle. And if you don't use it, it doesn't work. So think about that mental toughness and put it in place for yourself. I'm actually here in New Mexico. And I'm at a conference myself, so I will be sharing lots of that with you at the national conference. So see you then, guys. Bye.
Couple of good little stories there. Mm. We all sort of probably got those people that we went to school with where, you know, very similar, and then you just go off in different paths. Yeah. I've got mates that they literally peaked in high school and then they haven't really done much ever since. Mm. You know, that was their sort of environment. That's where they were happy and comfortable and they were the best at sport or whatever. But, you know, just from having no ambition, they didn't really go too far in life.
Having a good grounding by my parents is important too. I shared a story, I shared it with a millionaire mindset about 3 years ago. I was 10 years old and I was the right height and the right weight for a jockey. We lived by multiple race course. I came home, I said to my mum, "I want to be a jockey." And she goes, "You can be anything you want." And she encouraged me. Didn't say I couldn't be a jockey. And that was a really big impact in my life. And my mother encouraged me, no matter what I wanted to do, her support was there 100%.
Yeah.
I look back on it now and said, "I'm going to start racing Clydesdales."
There's probably a lot of thankful horses out there.
Yeah, it's really important for I think some parents look for a fault in a child or wait for them to do something wrong instead of encouraging them through many steps, and then they'll very rarely do something wrong because of that pure encouragement and just helping along with it.
I think that comes down to how parents label their kids too, and I don't think they mean any harm by it. So, you know, me and my sister, she was labelled the intelligent one and I was the practical one, because when you're a kid you just think, well, I'm obviously not intelligent. But it doesn't make any difference. You know, later on you realise, well, I'm the practical one, which means Dad always used to say, it doesn't matter whether you're male, female, what you are, you can do anything you want.
Yep.
My mum would say, just give up, it's too hard. But, you know, luckily I took my dad's words, but yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when someone else gives you belief, what that does to your overall confidence and your perception of what's possible. Like, if someone else believes in you, that's even better than you believing in yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, wow, other people believe I can do this too.
I just think we need to be careful how we do label people, though, because if it's between two kids, for example, or three kids or four kids, the other ones think, well, that's not me then, I must be the thick one. Or,
the tongue is a rather dry.
Yeah. bring them all out tonight.
I was going to share my business card. On the back of it, it says desire, action and achieve. That's my tagline.
Yep. Well, I mean, already there's been words that have been thrown around tonight that have just kept coming up and up and up, right? And it's because, you know, it's a very similar language.
Mm.
It's a positive language. You know, just in summary of Angela Duckworth's book, you know, grit is a better measurement for success than talent is. You can have all the skills in the world, but if you don't know how to apply them and survive the long haul, you'll most likely never succeed. I had a mate of mine, he, from a very young age, he was about 17, decided that he wanted to start his own business, and he loved motorcycles. He used to race motorcycles, and it was just his whole life, and he was like, how can I get in and start making my own motorcycles? And he got into the super light motorcycle industry, which is like your small to mid-range motorcycles. And at age 18, he'd saved up enough money by that point to then buy a ticket to go over to China, right, and start talking to all these different manufacturers on how he could develop a motorcycle and bring it to Australia to sell it. And he got knocked back from manufacturer to manufacturer. They laughed him out the door. He didn't even think about bringing a translator or anything like that. Just this young guy out there pitching his heart out. But he got through 21 different manufacturers where they just said, absolutely no way, you know, you got Buckley's. To then the last one who he had on his list. And he got there, he pitched to them, and they said, you know what, we'll take a chance on you. And he created, for over a 10-year period, very, very successful business simply because of those relationships that he built up. But he wasn't overly talented in any way, shape or form, but he was super driven to achieve a goal. And he didn't have much money, but he had a vision and he could see what he wanted for his life. And, you know, he had this willpower just to, you know, continually go through. I mean, you know what it's like, Patch, in terms of speaking to people over in a foreign country and trying to arrange a deal. Like, it's tough, right?
Yeah, but
you don't know what you're
doing. I always say the people that have got something different have done something different.
Mm.
I'm going to China again on the 13th. And it's hard, but I look at the actual rewards. One thing that really motivated me when I was younger is Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
We look up what he went through, the facts he went through, look at it, it's phenomenal. What he went through to finally become a leader is just phenomenal. And someone said the other day, it's a really simple quote, if you want to get ahead, you have to stick your neck out.
Yeah.
And just simple little quote, but it's so important. And this is what I love about Platinum. This is what I love about coming here. Being around like-minded people, it is so. I was talking to Pam today, and just the change in Pam and Phil and Janet, and I don't know the rest of you very well, but the change in these sort of people. I just wish I had a video of Janet
two years ago and
Pam 2 years ago, and just the change. And it's just so important to be around like-minded and encouraging people. Yeah. Anybody at this table can give me a ring anytime you want, and if I want this, I'll contact and call. It's so important to have that backing and that help around you to support you through. I look at Fintan and it's just phenomenal. And the mind is so powerful. I won't tell you which event it was, but I wanted to say goodbye to Dipner. And I put it out there. I wanted to say goodbye to it, and I was surrounded by people. I didn't get to see it. And I really wanted to say, I put it out there. I got to the airport, went through the business class, and there she was. Her plane got delayed, my plane got delayed. I spent an hour and a half there. And I sat down, I said to her, I've got one rule, is you do not talk about work. I did not want to know about work. That was great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so important to be around like-minded, encouraging people and uplifting people. And any fool can criticise and condemn, and most fools do. Don't come to me with a problem unless you've got a solution to the problem.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. High performance comes from mundane acts. We're programmed by society to embrace the idea that natural talent leads to our own greatness. This myth is promoted because it lets us all off the hook and allows us not to have to work too hard. And the reality couldn't be further from the truth. And I think that is so true. If I don't have the talent, then, you know, I can't achieve that goal. You let yourself off the hook all the time. But it's not about the talent. By adding up thousands of mundane acts repeated over and over again, we have the fuel we need to accomplish our goal. Grit is about stamina, not intensity. And we can all be good at a task for a day. But, you know, when we give it a go and we give it our all, we've got for 24 hours and work harder than we ever have before. But if we're only going to work hard at this task for a day and then not keep repeating the process regularly, then we will never reach our goal. We've got to decide not what to do. It's not always about what should I do, but more importantly about what should I say no to. Success is about minimalism in the sense that it's what we choose not to do that is often more important and powerful than what we do do. We have limited time and resources, so the way we funnel them both into certain activities will determine our long-term outcome. And I know for myself, there are more deals that come through my table or my desk that I say no to than yes to. And it's probably about a 90% to 10% ratio. And that's how it is. A lot of them don't stack up, or a lot of them don't meet what I'm about, or where I want to go, or the type of strategy that I want to do. And my ability to say no more and more and more and more is only going to mean that I'm channeling more of my energy into the right things that I know are going to create the best outcome and the best result. Purpose is the idea that what we do matters. It's the effect that we have on other people that often fuels our purpose further. You know, in a lot of cases, when you say to people, why do you want to replace income? A lot of the time it always falls back on, well, I want to be able to help other people, or I want to be able to share my knowledge, or I want to be able to, you know, go and help this charity or do more in my community. It often reverts back to something that's much larger than just ourselves, because it's contribution that gives us the biggest payoff. It's not getting a brand new Ferrari or living in a nice house. It's more often than not giving back. The way you deal with failure determines your success. It's the people who try a few different ways and then stop the practice of searching that fail. Dealing with failure is about taking ownership of your problem and making yourself responsible for solving them. At the same time, you can always ask others for a helping hand as long as you are taking the lead. Life is about constant improvement and striving for the top of the mountain. Even when you reach the top, there's always going to be a bigger mountain to try next time around. The only constant between success and failure is courage. As long as you have the courage, you'll keep getting back on the horse and trying again. If I had to say what are the two biggest things when it comes to property, and in my experience, it's been creativity and courage. You know, and through all the relationships that I've built and, you know, the people that I've met, it's always come back down to some level of creativity and courage. You know, and property is so much of a, you know, you walk in, you see what's not there, but you see what's possible and you bring it into existence. And that takes courage, takes stamina, takes endurance, takes perseverance. Property deal might take you 12 months, 18 months.